We are back with another podcast. It's been like several weeks since we've had a podcast, but we are back and I have a guest in today. I have a designer, a real designer. Sarah, how's it going?
It's going great.
Great.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming in today. So you've worked for like major designers, right?
Yes.
Design firms.
Yeah, I've had the opportunity to work for some of the larger firms in the country.
But you have, it's like a new path you're going now?
Yes. So I for about 10 years, worked for a couple different designers in the area and got to work on a lot of different projects, different size firms, learned a lot. And now I have decided that I'm going to kind of do that for myself and be my own boss and start my own firm. So,
and did you come up with like the design company name or?
Yes. Yeah, so we are Palm House Interior Design.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. So kind of playing off some design house kind of concept.
Right.
And yeah, it's really exciting.
So how long have you been in design?
A little over 10 years.
Now, so I think we had an earlier conversation about this. Is there a, it's a little bit different, I guess, than the way you would explain like a designer versus maybe a decorator?
Yes.
Is that true?
So good question. I get this a lot. And I think there's, you know, a lot of kind of overlap that's used. But a designer is somebody who has a formal education, went to school, has a degree in interior design.
Okay.
A decorator can be kind of anybody who just kind of picked it up and decided that they are going to take that path. So a designer and a decorator can do some of the same things. A designer can decorate, but a decorator doesn't design, if that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense.
So like with a designer, you're going to get somebody who focuses on space planning, interior architecture, ceiling details, your cabinetry, really like transforming the whole entire space and thinking it through from ground up.
Right.
Whereas a decorator takes kind of the shell that you're already working in and decorates it. You know, they're going to add your drapery and those layers.
Makes it look pretty.
Makes it beautiful. Yes. Yeah. And so that's why like a designer does that.
Right.
But a decorator doesn't.
Now, I can tell you right now, I've already experienced this like 2 weeks ago. I decided to do my closet, like redo it. And I'm definitely a decorator, not a designer. And I had this vision of like, you know, I'm going to go to IKEA and I'm going to get like the IKEA pack system, this wardrobe system. Mm-hmm. Well, I never really took into account like when you're looking at it, it's in almost like a warehouse. It's huge. And I was just like, oh, it's definitely fit. Mm-hmm. And I did more like measure the length, but I never considered like the height and the width of it. And I was just like, yeah, it's definitely going to fit. And it when it showed up, I was like, whoa, this is a lot bigger than I planned. And the handyman doing this work, he was like, did you really do your measurements? Because this is going to be tight. And so it all fit, but it fit within like less than a half of inch. It just fit. And he was like, did you think about the doorway? Like I have to build it inside the closet because you didn't take into account like the actual opening of the door and we can't get it through.
Yeah. I mean that, well, you know, designers run into that sometimes too, you know, sometimes, you know, I've worked on high rise condos before and you have to take in consideration the size of the elevator.
Oh yeah.
Because if you've got this massive sectional and I've had to, take furniture up the side of the building.
Oh my gosh.
Before, no, that's
gotta be an extra cost.
Yeah, like, and I just had to walk away and not watch as my, you know, sectional got lifted up.
That's insane.
Window cleaner.
Well, then, I mean, it does make more sense, like, when you broke it down that way about the difference between the two, because I never thought about that. I just thought about the pretty stuff, the sofa and the rug and the paint colors, but I didn't think about scale. And a lot of people are not good with scale.
Scale, I think, is a hard thing for a lot of people to grasp.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where like having a designer and even a good decorator, you know, can kind of eyeball that. And I think a decorator, you know, has to have good taste.
Right.
But just some of the background, you know, isn't there and the little bit of the why and just some of the extra layers, the only thing that an interior designer isn't touching is load-bearing walls. So we're moving walls around to make sure that we can accommodate the way you live in your space. And, you know, you want to sit 12 people
right.
in a dining room. Well, you don't have the space for that. So let's shift this, take some room from here because you don't need it in your foyer.
Right.
And it's better used in your dining room. So it's that kind of like thought process that a designer can get you
yeah.
versus a decorator. And I think there's a place for both, but you just have to decide kind of.
Well, you brought up something that was like really good because I bring this up in class all the time to new and seasoned agents, which I think there's like overlaps with when you think about real estate and what design is. I think they when they can come together is like really good, happy kind of marriage of the two. Even though you don't sell real estate and we don't design rooms, but when the two really do meet well. But you brought up about load-bearing walls, and I'm always telling the agents, like, be careful. We're real estate agents. And a lot of times you'll show property to buyers and they're like, oh, this would be like the perfect room if I could just take that wall out. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, an agent will say, yeah, that wall can come out.
No problem.
Yeah, no problem at all. And I'm like, you got to be careful. And I always tell them in class, I'm like, yes, that wall could cost $500 to come down, but it could also cost several thousand, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it can always come down for a
price. For a price. For any price.
But, you know, even a without looking at an architect's plans, even a builder or somebody that does it every day, like I can tell you sometimes like, oh, yeah, you can't touch that wall. Or you know, sometimes you have to get in there and look at it before. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I always tell the agents. I'm like, be careful about that stuff. We're real estate agents. We're not designers. We're not architects. We're not even contractors. So at minimum, you need to be a contractor. But going in and telling buyers what can and can't be done with a room is super dangerous on our part mm-hmm. because we don't have the training.
Well, somebody buys into an idea and then, you know, crushes their dreams when it can't be done. You know?
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's a bad look. But I also tell the agents, like, how much danger there is that they relied on your opinion as a professional and you're licensed. And then they buy that space and then they find out they can't do what they wanted to do with it because you told them incorrect information. That's how you get sued. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, be careful. Leave it to the professionals.
Yeah. Don't make a definitive answer unless you're positive. And you can't be positive about those things.
And I always tell them, I'm like, I bought a house a little over a year ago. And I, during my inspection period, I had my inspector come in. I'm like, listen, I'm going to gut this house anyways. The only thing I need you here for is this wall. If this wall can't come down, I don't want to buy the house. And so he's like, oh, you're good. But I wanted to make sure. I didn't want to risk it because it looked like it might have been a load-bearing wall. And he was like, no, you're fine. You're mm-hmm. good. Again, I don't have – although I've sold a lot of homes, I've looked at a lot of homes. I don't have knowledge of that. Now, exterior walls, yeah, that kind of makes sense. But the interior ones, that's where I'm like – I don't know.
It has to do with the way the trusses run in the house.
Yes.
And unless you're an expert, you know.
So that's good. I mean, so that starts us into how there's like, I guess, correlations between the two. And a lot of our agents and a lot of agents around the world, you know, they, whether it's in the U.S. or around the world, they work with a lot of investors who are buying property. And sometimes you will get investors who maybe they don't have the vision of what is needed to be done to the space or what could be done with the space. Do you think that's like great opportunities for investors and realtors to bring designers together?
Definitely. I think that every realtor should have a designer in their pocket, and it might not be for every buyer.
Right.
But, you know, if somebody really wants to do a full gut, but they're like overwhelmed by it, let the designer step in and say, let me take that off your plate. I see what you want to do with the space. Let me make it a reality and do it in a way that is timeless, and you're going to get that money back out of your property.
That's probably the biggest, like you just said, like a key thing I would say that's like super important for agents to pay attention to is that, you know, whether we're working with buyers or sellers, it's like, be careful the money you spend. You want to get the money out of it. Mm-hmm. And I'll have the buyers who will look at a $400,000 home and they'll see the bathroom is dated. Well, this bathroom's going to cost us $35,000. And I'm always like, that math doesn't make sense. And of course, a client will say, like, why not? You're overspending. Have you ever had that for any client you've ever worked with about their dreams, their visions, and overspending?
Definitely. You know, I have clients that bring me Architectural Digest as their, you know, inspiration photos.
Right.
And, but they're like, well, my overall budget's $100,000 for the entire house. And it's like, okay, well, we can accomplish this feeling, these elements.
Yeah.
But the hand-carved marble sink that's backlit and,
right,
you know, got 100% brass fixtures on it are not going to be in your price point. But, you know, when you get into it, it's like that bathroom could cost you $35,000.
Right.
Or it could cost you half of that. And I think having a designer that can help steer you in the right way of where to spend your money.
Right.
And where to maybe save, I think is like a, you know.
So you think it's possible to get really good design and not, or I would say like a big concept. Do you think everybody, regardless of budget, could have good design in their home?
Yes.
Okay. So.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, so many affordable lines now that have kind of opened up the possibilities at every price point.
Right.
You know, maybe, you know, full service interior design is a luxury service.
Right.
You know, if you're building a house from the ground up and you want to bring in a designer and have them just run with it. And if I come in to do that, that there's a price tag on that.
Right.
And not everybody can afford that. However, there's a lot at everyone's fingertips of like, I've done virtual consultations where there's a design fee involved. And you come to me with measurements, pictures, inspiration. The more you bring to me, the more I can share with you. And we just like do a brainstorming of, you know, there's a set time that we're going to spend on this and we're going to come with a lot of ideas. And then you can implement them, you know, in phases or what you can afford. But big picture, we're going to, you know, get some inspiration, get some ideas and kind of I can help you spell out how to accomplish that.
So for any client coming to you, what would be the first step? Like if you had a conversation on their phone and you said, bring me ideas, where do you suggest they start collecting those ideas?
Most people have the now have Pinterest board
or
something like that. Like Instagram, you know, there's so many designers posting their work on Instagram and it's just such a beautiful place to share.
Pinterest is amazing.
And you can even like pin things from Instagram and there's just a lot of good design out there. And sometimes people bring me pictures and I'm like, oh, it's not that, you know, we can make it better.
Right.
So
Which is good.
What I have them do is bring me pictures and then I'll bring some inspiration to the table too. And when you start speaking in pictures, you know everybody's on the same page.
Like
because
that.
If you start saying, you know, I like a moody space, but you may think moody is different than I think moody is. So speaking in photos is the way you kind of get on the same page.
So do you ever have problems when you're working with clients and you have either, you know, two partners, they come to you for one room, but both are at different spectrums?
Yes, like, I am also a therapist.
That's amazing.
I've witnessed, you know, marriage quarrels.
Well, yeah, I would think that's got to be like wedding design in a room. They're both going to be stressful.
There's nothing that will test your relationship like a remodel, you know.
Because I'm sure there's always going to be one person who's going to be like, I want it my way.
Definitely. There's usually one person that takes the lead. And that's where, you know, we get probably the best end result. But I really like to get to know my clients so that they trust me. And I try to, you know, I don't try to push that other voice aside.
Right.
You know, I really want to come up with a space that both people are happy with. Because at the end of the day, you're both living there.
Yeah, you're going to use it every day. You're going to see it every day.
Yeah, I would say I'm not one of those designers that's like, I have a vision and this is what it's going to be. You know, at the end of the day, you're living in the house. You're enjoying it. This is your space. And I just want to make it beautiful.
Now, do you ever get anybody who's just like, absolutely indecisive, like they just don't care, they just want a pretty space but they don't know which way they want to go, they don't care?
I've had that, but
and you
I
have like full reign, full freedom, they're just like whatever you see.
But I like to, even with the people that think they're open to everything, I like to speak in those photos and kind of come up with a direction before we even start pulling finishes or fabrics or any of that. So kind of like to get us on the same page and get like a verbal sign off for kind of the direction we're going in.
So have you ever had anybody that you're doing a project and maybe like halfway through, they're like, you know what? I'm just not feeling that anymore. I want to change.
I think I've had a little bit of everything.
You got to talk them back. You just had a bad night of sleep. Like, relax.
Right. And I maybe not so much that they just don't like the whole direction, but I've had people, you know, we've designed the whole house and then they're like, hey, I met with my architect and, you know, we've got a different footprint. We're going to use the house a little differently. Can we just like translate everything we pulled into the new house? I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way.
You can't make changes like this.
But, you know, we go on and get it done. And
so would you say it's like it is important to, because I do remind a lot of buyers when I'm working with them, is that, you know, it's really hard, regardless of your budget, to have the perfect space because, like, our needs are always changing. Like, what is great today, next month you might find, like, you know, I really don't like open spaces. I would rather have compartmental little areas. But so no space is truly going to ever be perfect because it's always evolving, right? Or would you agree? You could
disagree.
Agree.
I think that that's where, like, a designer helps. You know, I think that having a seasoned designer that has, you know, worked in spaces before, kind of guiding you on that, then you don't have that, you know, change of heart so quickly because you've worked through all the ifs, you know, and well, if you do that, then you're not going to be able to fit this. Or if we do take out that wall, you will be able to use it this way. So we really like talk through all of those potential issues or potential changes up front.
So that's kind of like, you know, do you work with the client and kind of paint, like, you know, you don't have kids now, but in 5 years you will. And you kind of plan the space for what could change in their life?
Yeah, we do. Like, I like to just really get to know my clients and how they live. Do you have kids? Do you have dogs? Are you going to have kids? Like, just kind of getting into your entire lifestyle. Where do you spend the most time? Do you take naps on the couch? Or are you, like, you perch? Or, you know, do you entertain? Do you spend time outside? Do you like the doors open? You know, all of those things really dictate how we treat the space.
So on a different direction, when we're starting to, we're kind of diving into all this, I'm starting to think, like, as a designer, and you pay attention to what's going on, like, we pay attention to what's going on in the market with housing prices, trends, as far as, like, what people are building. On your side, do you see any mistakes on the part of builders and people who are doing flips? Do you ever see, like, mistakes that they're making that you're like, ah, oh, that could have been done so much better? What do you feel about that?
I've definitely walked into some flips that I'm like, oh, I wish you wouldn't have flipped it. I wish, you know, we would have kept some of the original things. So I think the thing that I wish builders and people who flip kind of step away from their formula. And I know that there's, like, a budget in place and they know that they can get this material at this cost. But I think sometimes, like, we're in Winter Park. These houses have tons of character. Some of them are a little quirky.
Yeah.
And they need to be, you know, transformed into how we live our lives now. Mm-hmm. But kind of, I think the biggest mistake is stripping away all the character.
Right.
And just doing this, like, formula for every house. So, you know, and you can look through photos, you know, Zillow, or, you know, that's a hobby of mine, flipping through Zillow, you know, and I think you can tell what a flip is.
Right.
It's got, unfortunately, the gray vinyl flooring.
Stop it.
It's got, you know, a glass tile backsplash and a white countertop and white shakers. And, you know, that's the formula. And I understand that that's
a safe formula.
But I think the formula should kind of, I think we should pay attention to the architecture of the home, when the home was built, and kind of leave some of those special moments. And maybe it's taking out the green and pink tile that's in the 50s bathroom, but let's do, like, a little ode to it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, do it in a more modern way, because those tiles are still inexpensive. Like, you can get the look for less. But keep some of the character. I think people are appreciating the character, because I think we're kind of correcting from, like, making everything really clean and kind of adding that back in.
Yeah, I agree. And I always tell, like, a lot of my friends and a lot of designers, but a lot of builders, and in investors I work with, I'm like, you really have to pay attention. And I want to see if I'm correct on this. I'm always like, you know, you need to be careful about looking at what's popular in Florida right now, because I feel like we're kind of like the end of like trends or what's going on around the world. Like, you know, should they look at other parts to see what's going to slowly trickle our way as far as what's popular? And like gray, was gray popular in other parts of the world or in California before it got to us?
I feel like everybody had a little bit of a gray moment. Mm-hmm. And I think we're all kind of shifting away from that.
Yeah.
And kind of adding that warmth back in that we're getting. Yeah.
If I see one texture. More builder, designer home that does a gray floor, gray cabinets, gray backsplash, a gray and white counters, it's all gray, 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 and gray walls. And I'm like, mm-hmm. It's too much.
Yeah. I have some like investors that I've worked with that are like, I don't want to see one gray thing in this house.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, it had its moment. It's great. And mm-hmm. and now we're like designing for the future. So the next stage of everything. And even right. if you go back in like history of design,
yeah.
I mean, everything's like a correction of what happened before.
Right.
So you have your like minimalist. And then we did like, and you know, I'm not sure which came first, but the minimalist or the correction of that and like right. going overboard. But you know, it always works that way. So it's like everything was gray and now nothing is gray.
Yeah. And I always tell people too, I tell a lot of like these investors I'm working with now, I'm always telling them like, got to be careful because, you know, you can look at homes and I'm sure you see this too, is that I can look at certain homes that are, whether they're in Winter Park or they're downtown and they're using like these brown cabinets with like a Baltic kind of brown granite. And I'm like, oh, it's 2008 or 2007.
Oh, you can
put,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And people are like, how did you know? And I'm like, because this is what was popular. Everything, mm-hmm. everyone used in travertine. It was all used at the same time. And then I was like, now you got to be careful because everyone's going to know that kitchen was remodeled in this period because it's all gray. So it's like in our gray moment. We had our brown moment, mm-hmm. now in a gray moment. So what do you see as a new trend? What do you think the new trends are?
I would say definitely we're going to a warmer color palette. And when I say warm, it's not the cherry warm.
Not cherry wood.
Or the golden,
yeah.
You know, version of it. But it's yeah. just like a nice organic, mm-hmm. warm space, adding those wood tones back in.
Right.
That were kind of stripped away.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a handmade nature to things.
Okay.
Like the organic, you know.
Okay.
So not everything's so perfect. Like, mm-hmm. like subway tiles was in every backsplash and a flip.
Right.
Now it's like, you know, a handmade version of that. So maybe
yeah.
the edges aren't like
perfectly
squared off. It's like embracing
the imperfection.
The imperfection and the beauty of that, of like a handmade
item. I like
item.
That.
I think that adding all of those elements, kind of like I said, bringing the character mm-hmm. back into a space.
So that's one thing. Now, do you think in like kitchen designs for the 23, 24 and so on, do you think it's going to be popular for builders and people when they're doing flips, if they have the space to do kitchens with larger working pantries?
Yes. Yeah. I think people want to see a beautiful kitchen mm-hmm. and they don't want to see all their appliances on the countertops. You know, they want to see the beautiful cutting boards that you never cut on and
right.
you know, those things on your kitchen counters and not.
Now, do you design some spaces? Do you design stuff when someone goes in and they're like, you know, this never gets used, right? It just looks pretty.
It's kind of going into that, like knowing your client, like, do you cook in your kitchen? Do you
yeah.
not cook in your kitchen?
Yep.
Do you entertain? When you entertain, do you cook or do you have food brought in? Kind of.
Okay, you got bougie clients. I love it.
Oh, well, I've had the opportunity to work with kind of the whole spectrum of clients. So.
And I love that, though. So, like, I do think it's important that investors and when builders, especially builders, and I went on like a rant the other day about this, that I was like, you know, builders are making great money. Even like the, it doesn't have to be custom, even the Meritage and the Mattamy and, you know, all these like good level builders that people are buying. I think even for those, you're making great money. Hire people to tweak these kitchens and you don't have to go and blow the budget. There is ways, right, to tweak stuff that you don't have to use custom cabinetry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
kitchen designs are a little bit different. It's not the standard big giant island with as many cabinets as possible. But I'm also, and I'm seeing builders kind of creep into this a little bit, the unrealistic parts of like floating shelves in kitchens. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I think it all goes to how you live. You know, if right. you're the person that, you know, you use the same coffee mug and the same bowl every day and you're able to just leave those shelves styled, right. you know, then I think it's great. But if you are somebody that's like tossing Tupperware mm-hmm. in one cabinet and
yep.
and lids in another, like that's not going to work for you.
Yeah. I showed a property a few months ago to a client and they were just like, I love this kitchen. And it had absolutely no uppers. Mm-hmm. It was nothing but floating shelves. And it looked cute because it was vacant. There was nothing staged. And so I was like, yeah, it's cool. I love it. But I kept thinking in the back of my head, like, this is so not practical unless you have, like, amazing dishes that all match. Or maybe it's just me being, like, really anal. But I was like, I would walk in and be like, there's too much. It's too much clutter. Is there a science to that too?
I think it can be done well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like styling with larger items is always a way to like.
But is it like
declutter.
A decorator versus a designer kind of thing? Like, just people are going to throw it on there.
I think a decorator can still style. I think that's kind of what they're mm-hmm. they're doing every day. You
right.
know, is styling mm-hmm. things. So I think that they can accomplish that. But I think that. A designer is going to make sure that you have that storage elsewhere.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so we took away your uppers because it's beautiful and we want to showcase, you know, your all white handmade dishes.
Yeah.
But we need to make sure that your island has storage. You have that mm-hmm. working pantry that all of your appliances go in.
All
of
the stuff gets tucked away.
The sippy cups, the, you know, boxes of cereal, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I always tell agents, and I've taught a couple of my clients, I said, there's a term that we learn in school in real estate. It's the functional obsolescence. And I'm like, it's not really functional, basically. Like, it's pretty to look at, but it's not functional. And I do think, like, maybe it's just my real estate side of me coming out. I'm like, oh, there's going to be a lot of flips that were done in the past, like, 5-6 years where people were like, oh, it's so great that I have floating shelves. And I'm like, those are going to come down and cabinets are going to go back up because they're going to figure out, like, all my stuff looks ugly because I have, like, mix and match and I just throw stuff and I don't have time to stack the plates a certain way. I just want to throw them up there. And then I always think, too, I'm like, if you don't have someone who's cleaning the house, where does your dust sit? It probably goes and sits on those plates.
But like, you're not using those plates because you're not allowed.
You're not allowed. But that's where I was like, I was looking at the ones like in pantries. And like floating shelves are amazing. But in a kitchen, and this is all you have, like a little 10x10 kitchen. And that's what the room I was looking at. It was like a 10x12 kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it has no uppers and there's no pantry. This is crazy. But my buyers were like so into the moment. They didn't think. Oh, there's no pantry. Where's your canned goods going to go? They're going on the floating shelves. This is not good. This is not good.
Yeah. You know, it's all about how you live and the way you use the space.
Yeah.
know? And so it's a risky move for a flip because mm-hmm. you're trying to appeal to the masses. But for me, you know, if my client expresses that they just want a really beautiful kitchen.
Right.
Then it's a good way to mix it up and not yeah. have the formula of like, all uppers, all lowers.
What are three trends you would love to see more of in 23?
Mm.
Personally, maybe.
I'm a fan of wallpaper. It's a mixed, you know, yeah. it's a mixed bag. Either you hate it or you love it. But,
yeah.
you know, I want to see more wallpaper, more textures. Like,
and they make it where it's easier to install and take it down, right? It's not
yeah,
like
I
old
think it's
19,
not your grandma's wall
like 50 paper. Wallpaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't, it fuses to the drywall and you have to pull the drywall down.
But I do hate, you know, Florida, we have these textured walls.
Yeah.
And it's such a shame. Why can't we, you know?
Now, is that something that, I mean, buyers, probably a lot of homeowners don't really think of. That's something they would have to address, right, if they were going to put wallpaper up.
It depends on the type of wall covering, but it okay. does make it a little more difficult.
So
but
wallpaper?
I like adding texture into the space. So wall covering kind of adds okay. that texture. decorative lighting. I think that like people don't add enough decorative lighting in their homes. And I think that that's something as a homeowner, even without a designer, you can swap out your light fixtures and the impact that it has on the space is huge.
Now, are you talking about just like lamps? Or are you talking, so the average person out there who might be listening, what do you mean by like different types of lighting?
Like, well, there's kind of different levels. So like you've got your overall lighting and then you've got like your hanging fixtures, your chandeliers, your pendants. You know, not every room needs a fan. I know it's Florida, but you don't need a fan in
every room.
I saw
a fan in a kitchen over the weekend, and my buyer was like, what is that? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, we shouldn't do that. But
they're like, why?
You know, your hanging lights, and then your task lights, like your lamp, so that you don't always have to have those overhead lights on. You know, I think that adding layers of lighting warms up a space. It adds like some dynamic energy to the space. You know, you have like your lighting coming from above. From kind of like face level.
When you're thinking about the lighting, you said so overhead, and then you said more like lamps or?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, swapping out your fixtures, you know, a lot of, you know, like you were mentioning like builder grade homes, they're, you know, great. And that's like the majority of what people have. You know, swapping out those fixtures and giving some character, some personality to the space is really great. And then even lamps, you know, having being able to turn off the overhead lights and turn on that like ambient light makes a big difference in a space. So I think people should pay attention to their lighting.
Absolutely. I always make one of my friends laugh if like when I got into my adult world and I got my first home and then I kind of figured out what my style was. I had one of my girlfriends come over and she was like, I love your house. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, nobody looks great in full lighting. Everything should be
like, everything should be warm. Yes.
Warm lighting.
Candlelight. Can I just...
Can you put it on a dimmer, please? Can I have a dimmer? Like going into her room and she was like, so now even like 40 years later, she's like, I just love the fact that Steve said that nobody looks good in full light. I'm like, it's rare. Like, I'm sorry. It's just rare. You got to be like a stunningly beautiful person that full light coming at you. But if it's dimmed.
Exactly.
Everyone's and got a nice glow to you.
Nobody wants the LED.
The white lights.
Yeah. We gotta pay attention to the warmth of our bulbs.
Yeah. I messed up in the home I remodeled. I went and I bought lights online. I went to like Amazon, which I got a great deal, but I bought these like recessed lighting and I didn't really pay attention to like, it was like daylight, right? One of the options. And I'm like, well, that sounds good. Like, let's get it. It's going to be bright. Well, then they installed all these lights. And literally when I had to swap them out about a month later, because when all the lights were on, you could drive down the street. And I was like, that's Steve's house.
You can see it from outer space.
Yes. It was so much light. And I'm like, whoa. This is a lot of lighting, and I think I made a mistake.
Yeah, like rule of thumb, I mean, you should always kind of stay between like 2,700 kelvins and 3,000. That's kind of my
I swear, I think you just went into like a scientific world, and I'm like, I've looked at that, and I was like, what does that mean? Yeah,
kelvins is like the warmth of the bulb.
Right. So. I'm the one who has to go to like the Home Depot and I'm like, where's the light exhibit? All right, there. So that's too yellow. That's too white. That one looks just right. I'm going to take you.
That's why it's there.
Or that, or I told one of my friends, I was like, I got really lucky. I found these bulbs and they've got all the settings. So I'm just going to buy them and then my contractor will install them and I'll just have them play with it until I'm like, that's the right light. I like that one. So when you're starting to think about suggestions that as a designer, you're ready to see no more of in 23. What would you say your top three of like, I've seen enough, I don't want to say it again?
The gray flooring.
Gray one.
Gray. Yes, the I would say that. Three things.
And you won't offend anybody.
Gosh. I had the gray in my mind.
Do you think like, I don't know, like open spaces, compartmentalized, farmhouse?
I mean... The shabby farmhouse can kind of make its way out.
Is that a thing anymore? I remember like back in the day when I would see like shabby chic. And I'm like, what is that? Oh, that's just like a lot of frilly stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of like chalk paint and you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, I have really great clients and have great taste. And,
right.
You know, I'm seeing there's a lot of great things that are people. I think people have a lot of access to good design now. Mm-hmm. And it can be a, you know, blessing and a curse.
Right.
That like all of this really great design is at everyone's fingertips. Like
right.
It used to be you had to go out and get an Architectural Digest or a Interiors yeah. magazine. But now, you know, it pops up on your feed, you know.
Yeah.
It pops up everywhere, especially if you're doing a renovation, you know, they seek you out,
yeah,
you know, and
Netflix,
they start targeting
YouTube.
You with everything.
You've got plenty of access. I think I definitely agree that if buyers are going to work with, homeowners are going to work with a designer that – you've got plenty of access. So at least when you go to meet with you, I could bring you like my iPhone. I'm like, here's all the stuff I love. Now put it together for me. Because I think there is a difference of like finding all those cool pictures and then finding out what's realistic. Like I was looking at something and you brought it up about that stone, that marble mm-hmm. Kind of like sink. And I was I'm remodeling a bathroom now. But I went and I was like, I want to do all marble. It's going to look so cool. And I had all these like Pinterest pages done. Well, that got shot down real quick as soon as I went. And I was like, so I want to do this. And I picked, and it was just the marble alone. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, I can't do that. I would be over imperving. And it sounds great. But yeah, I just picked out all this marble tile work. And they were like, okay, based off the square footage. And they gave me like, it was like $5,000 in just marble just for the shower. And I was like, yeah, never mind. Like, is mm-hmm. there a porcelain tile that looks like this?
Well, and that's where like we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. like the designer can help you accomplish that
right.
in a way that's not only less expensive, but mm-hmm. is more maintenance friendly.
Right.
You know, marble is not necessarily, you know, depending
it looks
on
good,
how you
right?
live.
Yeah, it's like black floors, ebony floors, where I've gone into like model homes or homes that, like I did the parade of homes this past year, mm-hmm. and I went into a home in Winter Park, and it was an unbelievable home. Definitely a particular type where it's like a lot of gold and black and ornate, and it looked really pretty. But I was like, the first thing, I guess it's the real estate agent side of me, as soon as I walked in, I was like, black floors, not practical. It's just not practical. Would
yeah,
you agree?
The darker the floor is, the more it's going to show.
Yeah,
know?
Like and I'm like, clearly these people don't have kids or a dog.
Yes. And
or walk.
You know, and the more polished it is, it's
yeah.
going to show more. So anytime you're doing like a darker floor, we should have like mm-hmm. some movement in it.
Right.
Try to hide some of the...
Yeah, yeah, that's where I want, because when you do work with a lot of clients, a lot of them, they start talking out when they're working with their agent and they're going through the process of buying the home and they're telling the agent, like, I envision, and a lot of times I think that if the agent doesn't have that sight, they really should at that moment. I do encourage agents to say, you know what, before you start doing this, because it's like you're doing the biggest purchase you're going to probably do, and now you're going to revamp that purchase. Get with a professional. Spend the extra money, at least for a consultation, and see what they suggest. Would you agree?
That's kind of, I was going to say, it's probably not a trend, but mm-hmm. something that I love to see kind of like less of is like the DIY world has kind of spiraled out of control.
I know. I'm like sighing right now on the DIY stuff.
Yeah, and I think it's a little deceiving because I think some of the people that are, you know, marketing themselves as DIYers, mm-hmm. they're professionals.
Like, yeah.
They are not
when you're looking
this together on a weekend in one trip to Home Depot.
Like, so you mean these TikToks that I'm watching of like paint your cabinets, paint your countertops, paint everything?
Mm-hmm.
They're professionals,
most
of them.
I think that if it seems too good to be true, it probably mm-hmm. is. I think a lot of that stuff like looks great in a photo.
Right.
But when you get into it, it looks like you painted your backsplash, you know? And I think if it's a temporary and it makes you happy.
Right.
To not have the brown for mica countertops anymore, then sure, go for it. But it's a temporary fix and it's not, you're not going to get the resale out of it. You know, so like consulting a professional when necessary. And I think that there's so many ways to do that in an affordable way. Let's like source out the tile work. Let's source out
exactly
the countertops and things like that. Like let's, and I think looking at your house as a whole, too. So many times I go to a house and every single room has a different flooring. And I think there's so much value in, okay, I know you want to redo your kitchen, but let's take a step back and like, what is the flooring that you want to run through your kitchen? And let's continue that through the house.
Exactly. And I was going to say, like, you see it from that perspective. As a real estate agent, I always tell people when I go in, I see a home that's got multiple floors. As an agent, I'm trying to figure out which one was the first one, because then I'm like, oh, they did this in steps as they renovated. Mm-hmm. And then obviously whatever they did, if it was tile, they did a transition because they couldn't find the same tower. They couldn't match it up. Or they decided they didn't have the budget, or the budget got, they got better. So maybe they started with like a low floor and then they kept building up from there. And I'm like, why wouldn't you just rip it all out? Have some continuity.
I think there's value in just like, maybe you have to wait a little longer to do that renovation, but like, let's do it right. You know, let's, and I think rule of thumb is like, there should really only be a transition from behind a door, like at a door threshold. And with that said, like, another kind of thing I see a lot is like somebody will run like a wood look porcelain throughout their home because it's durable and they like the look of wood, but they don't want the maintenance of wood.
Right.
But then in the bedrooms, they want to splurge and do a wood. Well, then when your bedroom door's open, you've got the thing that's supposed to look real next to the real material. And that's kind of.
Now, I'm going to want
maybe that's like a designer's, you know.
I'm going to one up you on that one. The as agents, and we show these properties, when they use like the 12 by 20 or the 24 by 24 tile, and then they transition into the bedroom and they want wood. And I'm like, why? They don't even speak to each other. They're totally different looks. And if there's one step worse, it's like, we're going to use beige tile throughout, but we're going to use dark wood in the bedroom. Why? Why? I don't get it. And it just, it always like, I think from a buyer's perspective, they immediately go through. And I want to know as like a designer, do you ever get this as well? Is that a lot of times buyers come in and they look at a space and immediately like, this kitchen's going to cost us $100,000 because they don't have a concept of like, do you ever get that where people, even the people who have budgets, they maybe sometimes go to the high end because they're like, they don't know, they're not in that world.
Yeah, and I think renovations in general are just overwhelming to people.
Right.
So, like, whether it's the vision or the budget or the amount of time that they think it might take, I think it's all overwhelming.
Yeah.
So they'd rather, like, shrink the size of the project and focus on one room. And in their mind, the previous owner had different flooring in the bedroom. So let's just do the bedroom because that's doable and it's affordable. And it's whereas like if you just at least get somebody to come and tell you what they think the project is going to take.
Right.
And do it right and do it kind of more cohesively. I think that you're always going to get your money back out of that more than kind of piecemealing it together.
I love that. And it's like good words to end our segment on. But I want to thank Sarah for coming in today. Every one of our podcasts, we always end with a rapid fire of questions. It gives our viewers like a little bit more insight into the person we're having in today. So are you ready for your 12 questions?
I think so.
All right. So let's get started. This is 12 questions with Sarah. And the first question is, and I'm curious about this one as well, is what is one of the like overly used words you wish designers would just stop using?
Maybe not overly used, but overly cringy. Like that a space is sexy. Ooh,
sexy.
Makes me just die inside favorite, a little bit.
Favorite color?
Green.
Light wood or dark wood?
Dark.
Favorite architectural style?
Love a like craftsman arts and crafts kind of.
All right. What designer would you like to have dinner with? Could be famous, could be alive or not alive.
Amber Lewis. I just want to live in all her spaces. So I just want
to. What about a designer you'd like to have breakfast with?
Iris April. She seems like
all right,
a little crazy, a little kooky. Breakfast,
love that.
Not dinner, maybe.
Farmhouse in or out?
On its way out.
On its way out. I love that. Favorite movie?
Oh, gosh. I'm not a big movie girl.
Okay.
I fall asleep in every movie.
So clearly there's not a movie on your list. Are you a dog or cat person?
Dog.
TV. Now, I'm interested about this one. TV over a fireplace or no?
No, unless it's your only spot, I guess.
Okay. And if you had a superpower, what would it be?
Oh, I want like 10 arms that like stretch to do multiple right. things.
So you can be like all places at all times.
Yes.
I love that. Well, then, Sarah, I want to thank you for coming in. It's been great. And I hope that agents, if you're listening, this is a great opportunity to really take part in what she's saying, that there is going to be a union, right, between designers and a lot of our clients that's really helping them make their space into beautiful spaces, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, use us as a resource, you know.
And Sarah, if anybody wanted to reach out, how could they contact you?
You can contact me through my website, which mm-hmm. is pommhouse.com. It's P-O-M-M-E house.com. I'm on Instagram, same thing, pommhouse. And yeah.
All right, check her out. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you're having an amazing week. Bye, everyone.
This is a Charles Ruttenberg Realty podcast from Gulf Coast to Space Coast. This podcast is sponsored by Integrity Title and Guarantee Agency, LLC, where integrity is guaranteed.